Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. Wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have these things. There is a name that comes to mind when darkness overshadows me. There is a name that comes to heart when troubles surround me. Jesus, just the mention of your name brings peace to me. Just the mention of your name brings peace to me, Jesus, Jesus. There is a name that comes to mind when darkness overshadows me. There is a name that comes to heart when troubles surround me. Just the mention of your name brings peace to me, Jesus. Just the mention of your name brings peace to me, Jesus.
Father, we are indeed so glad you are with us. You walk with us, you talk with us, you carry us, you hold us close. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, you are amazing, absolutely amazing. And we stand in awe of you this morning, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house, to sing your praise and to worship you, Father God. Lord, this morning we do think of Jacob's mom headed in for surgery Tuesday. Lord, would you speak to her? Would you minister to her? Lord, we pray that you would touch her and bring healing and wholeness to her flesh. Lord, as I often do, I don't pray that you would guide the doctor's hands. I pray that you would be the doctor's hands. Lord, that you would just be with her, be upon her, Lord, through this entire procedure on Tuesday. Lord, bring peace to her, to Jacob, to his dad, to the rest of the family. Lord, encourage them as only you can. Lord, let your peace fall upon their hearts. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your incredible blessings today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, as we talked last Sunday, we kind of learned about our need of Christmas. You know, we've kind of talked a little bit more about what Christmas was really about and what the reason for Christmas was. We learned about our need of Christmas. The fact that there was a broken relationship between God and man, a relationship that was diverted between the Creator and the way He created us to love and to love others and to love Him, that love relationship, and the attitude that we kind of took as human beings with the world, with stuff that was created and made for us, yes, but we took it a little too far. And sin broke that love relationship between us and God. We came to the understanding that we were created in God's image. And that means more than just a physical image, which we initially think about when we hear that word. It includes being created in His characteristics, His likeness. And one of those, of course, is His love. I mean, that was meant to be a huge part of who we are as His creation. When sin entered the world, it became very deep, very problematic, if you will. And it caused a broken relationship, and that love that we were supposed to have of God was replaced by things. Jesus left His Father, He left the perfect home, He left His eternal dwelling, and He entered earth as a baby that first Christmas morning in the manger. And He did all of that for you personally, for me personally. He did that for us. And He did it to meet a need, the need to restore that broken relationship of pure, true love between the Creator and His creation, or in other words, between God and us. Today we turn a little bit from that need, which we just talked a little bit more about, to the hope that we have in Christ, the hope that is revealed in that little baby. And it all focuses around Christ coming to earth. No matter how we want to look at Christmas, everything was done for our benefit, folks. It was done for us. So today we move on to that hope. And whether we realize it or not, our lives are filled with desires that are rooted in hope. You and I, listening, sitting here right now, our lives, our very beings, are filled with hope. The question is, what hope? Where is that hope? You might even say that as human beings, as people, we're hardwired for hope. For hope in our lives. Each decision we make is somehow rooted in hope. Each response we have is due to the hope that we have in given things, whatever that is that lies underneath. Life itself is fueled by hope, if you will. If you were to look up the meaning for that word hope, you would find a couple of definitions out there. A confident desire, a likelihood of success, or looking for the likely positive outcome. Those are all kinds of, all the things that come about when we talk about this idea of hope. Now, believe it or not, we don't always verbalize our hopes, but they are always there guiding us and directing us and leading us to certain things and in certain directions. Let me give you an example. Every single night, I turn off the light and I lay down in my bed and I hope for a good night's sleep. Now, I don't actually say those words. I don't verbalize those things. I don't even necessarily acknowledge that I'm thinking those things. But somewhere deep in my head, I'm certainly thinking that. I'm hoping that I will get a good, peaceful night of sleep. And I would guess you guys probably do something similar. Again, you may not verbalize it, but it's there. It's part of who we are. Let me give you a little bit more personal example. Some of you know this about me. Some of this will be news to you. But I tend to be a people pleaser. I like it when things go well for people. I like it when I can fix things for people. I like it when people are happy, when they're not sad or frustrated or upset or discouraged or any of those things. In fact, it troubles me when there's discord or dissension amongst people. I long to help, to do what I can do to restore relationships, to bring peace so that everybody is happy. And now we all know how foolish that statement is. Not everybody is happy all the time. But as a people pleaser, that's one of the things I long to see. I long to see people happy. I long to make decisions that help others become or maintain happiness. Along with that, I absolutely despise confrontation. I just can't stand it. I hate to have it as a part of our lives in any way, shape, or form. So I always hope, look for easy solutions or easy resolutions, if you will. I hope for peace and contentment among people, among relationships. Not necessarily agreement. I don't always go to that extent to think that people are going to be in agreement with each other. But I at least like peaceful accord. That we can put up with one another, basically, if we need to. That's a little bit about how I think or who I am. And so there's a lot going on in my mind that hopes for peace, that hopes for resolution, right? The problem with all of that is it usually doesn't happen that way, does it? That usually is not the reality of things. When there's disagreement and people are offended, a peaceful resolution can be very hard to come by. It can be a very difficult thing to achieve. One party or another typically goes away unhappy or goes away hurt or disappointed no matter what you do. And I don't like that. I don't like to see pain in other people's lives. I don't like to see pain in other people's faces or circumstances. So at that, my hope is broken. My hope in that peaceful resolution, my hope in that reconciliation often is broken, because reconciliation is not that simple most of the time. Most of the time. Sometimes it is, but admit it or not, we all have issues like that. We put our hope in places or things or people or circumstances that have no business having our hope placed in them. They really don't. We all have to put our hope in difficult things sometimes, but the point there is We need to think beyond the circumstances. We need to think beyond the situations. We need to think beyond the people, because our hope should not be in them. And as we are constantly looking for hope, because we're hardwired for that hope, because we long for that hope, we tend to drop our hope in all of those inappropriate places. We tend to put our hope where our hope does not belong, attaching it to those desires and those different things. See, the real problem with our version of hope is it simply doesn't exist. To put hope in a place or a person or a thing or a circumstance or a feeling, you're really not going to find hope there. Not the hope you're looking for. Not the hope that you think is going to solve all your problems or make you feel perfect in some way. Maybe from time to time, our hope will pan out and things will work out and it'll be great. But that's just simply not the way it typically works. There are nights that I don't get a good night's sleep. My hope was there. I went to bed just like always. But sometimes I don't get the good night's sleep that I really hoped I would get. There are days when your hope, there are days when my hope, placed in the wrong things, will absolutely fail us. They'll fail us. It's just true. We don't like to hear that, but it's truth. In fact, many times, the failure streaming from our wrong placement of hope is what causes us to sin. Ever think about that? We put hope in something, and then we get mad that things don't turn out the way we hoped they would turn out. And that mad, that anger causes us to sin. We get upset because no one gives us whatever reward or recognition that we had hoped for. And because we put our hope in that thing then becomes a stumbling block for us, and sin enters into our life. Depression enters the scene because our hopes weren't met. Do you see the vicious circle that gets generated here when our hope is placed in the wrong area? Our pride is dashed because this or that we hoped for didn't happen. Or we weren't given the kudos or the pat on the back that we thought we should get. And again, we face this problem of putting our hope in the wrong place, and we don't get the blessing that we think we deserve, and yet the whole time we were hoping in the wrong thing. Kind of driving home a point here. Do you get it? Okay, you're all quiet this morning. I wonder if you're thinking about those cupcakes Pastor Brian brought in and was waving around. Hope is not a thing or an achievement. Hope doesn't lay in our plans or our desires. Hope isn't even in our successes or our failures. Hope, true hope, comes only in one form. And He is the baby that was lying in that manger that first Christmas morning. He, hope, is why we celebrate Christmas at the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to read from Scripture here in a moment. In fact, we're going to read from Isaiah. So if you want to open there and get ready, that's where we're going to read from here in just a minute. As we read, and let me tell you, this isn't the typical Christmas reading from Isaiah. So don't jump to the chapter you think it might be, because you'll probably be wrong. But if we're going to read here, listen closely to the words of this chapter that we read from, because they give us something. They give us a lesson that we can learn over who we are, what we are like, what we do in our lives, and the resolution that has been provided for us. All of that can be found in this scripture. And I'll give you a little clue as we get ready to read this scripture. Our modern day title of this chapter is called Sin, Confession, and Redemption. Sin, Confession, and Redemption. We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 59. It's a bit of a read. We're going to do the first 20 verses of this chapter. So flip there, open there, scroll there, do whatever you need to do, but listen up as we read and keep in mind this idea of hope this morning. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that you will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They speak lies. They conceive troubles and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die. And when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks among them will know peace. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight among the strong. We are like the dead. We all growl like bears. We moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice but find none, for deliverance, but it is far away. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. Rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, fomenting oppression and revolt, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and our righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garment of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come from Zion. To those in Jacob who repent of their sin, declares the Lord. What in the world does this have to do with Christmas or hope? I told you it was not the section of Isaiah you were expecting, was it? Not what you were thinking of when it comes to Christmas. Isaiah does a phenomenal job here, of course, led by the Holy Spirit, of outlining the condition of man. In everything we just read, he was talking about you and I. He was talking about mankind because of our sinful nature, who we are, what we are like, the horrible situation we are in. We are hopeless in our sin, or as he even said, our offenses are many. Our hearts are stained. In our rebellion, we have turned our backs on our Creator. And at this time, when Isaiah penned these words, he said a very true statement. There was no one to intervene. No, there was no one to intervene. Israel was given the law, the direction. They were to sacrifice animals for this and that and the next thing. They were supposed to offer all these offerings. They were supposed to do all the... That really wasn't the answer. That was a temporary relief, if you will. But there was no one, there was no person, there was nobody to intervene on human beings' behalf, on our sinful nature. And that's really where we get hung up. We, deep down inside, we want things to be right. We have a desire, and I'm not just talking about us here. I'm talking about human beings in general. We have a desire for things to be right, morally right, spiritually right. We have a longing for that in our inner being. We want things to be right in every possible way. We long for a just and right world to live in. We do. We desire that. That, in and of itself, is why we are hardwired with hope. Because we long for that right life, that right world, that right circumstance, that right attitude, atmosphere. And so we're hardwired with hope for restoration in those things. For restoration in that relationship, in that environment we find ourselves in. Again, the problem is hope doesn't come from stuff or people or circumstances. Hope can only be found in one place. One place. And he was born on Christmas morning, placed in a bed of straw, in a manger, we call it, or in a stable, we call it. That hope was born that day for the angels to burst forth and sing about. That hope was born that day for the shepherds to leave their flock and run to that scene to find that baby as they were told about. They were there to experience the reason for that hope that we have in our lives. The only true answer, the only true unwavering truth, the only absolute source of hope is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. All the other stuff that we seek, again, sometimes we verbally speak it, sometimes we just act it out in our lives. But all that other stuff that we think about, that we seek, that we often run to, leads us to putting our hope in something false, in something that is going to fail us eventually. Again, I said earlier, maybe sometimes we see our hope in things or people or places come to reality. You know, the old saying, every now and again, a blind squirrel finds a nut. Every now and again, we get it right. We get what we think is right. But it's not true hope that we have found, because true hope is only in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything else will fail us. It will let us down. I want you to look again at that very first verse in Isaiah 59 that we read, because that very first verse gives us a subtle answer here to our unwavering hope. Look at it. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. There's a promise in that verse right there. Far too often, folks, when we read Scripture, we blow through it too quickly and don't stop to realize what we're reading. That very first verse, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. No matter how far away we feel, no matter how distant things seem to be, no matter what seems to stand between us, guess who's got our back? Guess who can protect us? Guess who can hope or help us? Guess who can meet our need? Guess who can heal us? Guess who can provide for us? Does that sound like someone we should be putting our hope in? Yes. I would think so. Nor is his ear too dull to hear. Well, you know, I'm not sure I should really be praying about that, because, you know, God's got other things to take care of. I'm not sure God really cares. You know, I just don't know. Let me say as clearly as I can, God cares about the tiniest detail in your life personally. I don't care if it's a hangnail you're dealing with. God cares about it. God wants to help. God wants to be your true hope. Scripture outlines for us a very, very dark time in Israel's history. That's why Isaiah penned what he penned. There was a great deal of injustice in the land. The divide between truth was just, it was vast. It was huge. Dare I say, much like today. People just don't want the truth today. They want some form of what they pretend is the truth, or as we've talked about before, relative truth. My truth, your truth, their truth, his truth. It's like a Dr. Pepper commercial. Well, there isn't all these different truths, folks. There is one truth. And the sooner people realize that, the sooner they will come to grips with where their hope needs to be placed, because it's in that truth that their hope needs to be placed. God gave man, in the middle of our corruption, in the middle of our horrific sin, God gave man the greatest hope that we could ever possibly have. And that was the birth of his son, of that baby in that manger at Christmas morning. Verse 20 of our text, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sin, declares the Lord. That's another promise. That verse right there, hope is coming. Hope is on his way. All you have to do is put your trust in the man, in the hope that the Redeemer said would come. It's a promise for you and I, as well as for those that read it when Isaiah wrote it however long ago. Our sinful condition, the life of man in general, is an absolute hopeless one. There is nothing in all of creation that can ever be that source of hope that we desire, that we want, that we look for outside of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing can be our hope outside of our Savior. We have to understand that. We have to believe that. We have to let that penetrate our hearts and our minds this morning. I cannot hope in my corporate climb. I cannot hope in a better relationship. I cannot hope in all these things that we verbally or non-verbally put our hope in. We have to put our trust, our hope in God alone. All those other things can be worked out as our hope is focused in Christ. If we try, no matter how hard, if we try to put our hope in those other things, it will never truly be fulfilled in our life. That desire, that inner desire of hope will elude us as long as we walk this earth. If we try to put it in man or situations or circumstances or anything else. You know, life on this earth holds the same ending for each and every person. Ever think about that? Life on this earth holds the same ending for each and every person. I don't care how rich or poor you are. I don't care how well-known or unknown you are. I don't care what authority you have or lack of authority you have. When this sinful life ends and we face eternity, the only hope that we have, the only hope that matters, the only hope that we can carry with us into eternity lies in the arms of that little baby born Christmas morning. It's the hope in Jesus that allows us to experience that restoration of that love relationship that we talked about last week. It's our hope in Him that we can see that relationship restored. You know, that's all God really wanted. From the moment He scooped that first pile of dust into His hands and created man, He wanted a relationship of love between the two of us, between man and Him, between Creator and creation. That's what He wanted. That's what He wanted. That lousy serpent came along and blew it for all of us. All God wanted was that love relationship. And that little baby, born that Christmas morning, restored that relationship and made it possible that we can have that hope that we so, so long for. I want to read a couple other verses of Scripture this morning. These were written by our friend Paul. He wrote so much for us to listen to and to glean from, but these are his words from Romans 15, this one in verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. Did you hear those words? Everything that was written in the past was written for who? Us. That we might have what? Hope. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope in what? Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. You know, if you don't know me well enough by now, you know that I'm going to tell you that those things that we often hate most in Scripture, for instance, suffering, perseverance, those are the things that matter most to us, for us, because of what we just read. Rejoice in your suffering, because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, what? Hope. None of us like those things. I don't want to deal with those things. But if the end result is to build my hope in my Savior, then I need to be all for it. And I need to welcome it. As hard as it might be, as terrible as it might be to go through, I got to trust and know and hope in another scripture, one that says God has my very best in mind. We don't like to put all those together, do we? But scripture, folks, is complete and unified from beginning to end. One thing applies to the next thing. When December 25th rolls around, and we're crazy close, aren't we? 10 days away. When December 25th rolls around, I hope you'll stop for a moment. Look at, I just used the word hope. I didn't even think about it, did I? When December 25th rolls around, stop for a moment and ask yourself, where is my hope? Where is it? Is it in the things that I unwrap? Have I wrongly placed my hope in the things of this world, things which will absolutely fail me? Or have I placed my hope in that little bitty baby? The one lying in that manger, the one lying in that hay, the one we celebrate often without thinking about what we're really celebrating. Is my hope in that one true soul source of hope, Jesus Christ? My hope for forgiveness, my hope for restoration, my hope for eternal redemption, my hope for a restored love relationship with my Creator lies in one single place. The only place I should be looking. My hope is in Jesus Christ. If I place my hope anywhere else, it'll fail me. It will fall short. It can't save me. I can't carry it into eternity. My hope, placed anywhere else, is useless. My only hope that matters is Jesus. Father, I pray that you would make that clear to us today and every day going forward. Lord, let us examine ourselves. Let us consider where we have placed our hope. Let us come to grips with the fact that as humans, we long for things. We desire to put our hope in things when we really should be putting our hope in you. God, change our thinking. Change our mindset. Change our perspective going forward. And let us put our hope in the only one place that will make any difference in our lives. God, you are our hope. Help us to remember that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Worthy is the Lamb.